Good afternoon, little Saigon, Seattle, all you people out there on Christmas Eve. It's December the 24th, 2019, just after 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, Santa Claus. Oh, Santa, are you going to ride in the night sky tonight? Oh, Santa, is your sleigh fueled up with highly radioactive waste? Who are you gonna visit first, Santa? You gonna go visit Obama, Santa? You gonna visit Trump? What are you gonna put in his fucking stockings, Santa? You gonna visit Hillary? I'd give her a lump of coal. Anywho, I don't know what I'm up to, guys. Everyone's getting ready to see family. I'm going to see family tonight, and I'm dreading that. I know I should talk about it. I know when I go to the fucking family thing, I probably shouldn't drink. I probably should show up at the family thing and go, yeah, who is it? Oh, it's Uncle Dan. Would you like a beer? No, I shouldn't be drinking. And then I walk towards the kitchen. They have a nice little fashionable Swedish, whatever, Nordic bullshit kitchen, maybe, a shambles. And I sit down at the bench and some strange European looks at me and says, "Would you like a beer?" And I, you know, no, I can't have a beer. I can't have a beer. Then I wander to the living room. I wander to the living room where I sit down amongst the chatting chatterboxes. I wander to the living room and I turn on my stealth mode to hide from the pain that people will see. They're like vultures. I sit down in my chair and I cuddle up into a ball and I pretend I am not there. And then one of my nieces or nephews comes up to me and says, "Uncle Dan, you look like you've gained weight." And I said, "You know what? I feel like I've gained love." Unperturbed by this, furthermore and onward, the nephew says, "Uncle Dan, are you healthy?" And I said, "Listen, young man, I'm as healthy as any 50-year-old bunkus meat can be. I live in the city, buddy." Yeah, I've been using that word buddy a lot lately because I'm working on the story I'm going to write. And the word buddy shows up in it, so what the fuck's wrong with me? Anyways, let's continue. Buddy. "No, my health ain't so good, nephew. I got the shimblies. I got aches in places I don't want to have them. I have stuff going away I wish would stay. I have stuff appearing I wish would go away. But I feel as if I'm still alive, dear nephew. And I will shout at the night with great fury, you fuck. You're old enough now to know this, pal." "You're old enough to know the truth, pal. You're old enough to know that when you get to a certain age, it's okay. It's okay to eat tacos and drink beer. It's okay to smoke crack or even to shoot up crocodile. As long as you're not harming somebody else and you don't have kids. You see, if you're a single old uncle who has nobody and nothing but the notice in his own head, the reminder in his own head that there's an exit down the road labeled shambles, you're going to be alone, buddy, and you're going to be in a shambles. So my health is okay. Anywho, I don't know what you guys are thinking about this Christmas. I'm thinking about the fact that I wish I had a Crown Vic. Now, do I need a car? No, I don't need a car. But I've always wanted a Crown Vic. I mean an old, formerly owned by the FBI, fucking Crown Vic. A fucking former FBI Crown Vic. With a cop engine. And a cop powertrain. Yeah, kind of like in the Blues Brothers movie, right? Get yourself a cop car. I really wish I had a Crown Vic. And if I had a Crown Vic, I think I would take out the, I would take out the passenger seats in the back. I would remove it and I would create a bigger gasoline tank. And you might say, well, Dan, isn't it illegal to have a gasoline tank in your car that is above a certain size? It probably is. It probably is. But I'm an anarchist, remember? So issues of legality are an open question. It's more about how you want to treat your fellow human being. And these days, you know, I wish I had a Crown Vic with an extra large gasoline tank. About, 150 gallons, maybe 200 gallons of fuel in my Crown Vic at any time. If you see me rolling down the street, you need to know this too. I rigged the gasoline tank in such a way because I think it's cool. I don't like these little drip-drip explosions. So if I get into a wreck, the gasoline tank is rigged. Kind of like a Ford Pinto, you know, circa 1978. My gasoline tank is rigged in such a way. I have a hot wire. I actually have a hot wire hooked up to the airbags. So if the airbags go off in my Crown Vic, if I get into an accident that triggers the airbags, assuming I have a model circa whatever, but then maybe I'll use a hobo airbag in another car just to trigger the fucking gasoline, just for that little whatever. I don't know what you'd call it. A shearing meter, accelerometer, I would just tear out the accelerometer or decelerometer. In this case, accelerometer, same difference, whatever. Same math, arrows go all directions, same vector. Needless to say, I could take out the accelerometer and use that to trigger the fucking explosives on the gasoline tank. So I don't get this drip-drip car explosion like you see in shitty movies sometimes where somebody has like 5 minutes to ponder their existence. That's depressing as fuck. If I get into an accident, I want my car to go up in a ball of flame. And I think that it would be a huge ball of flame, almost like a fuel air bomb, really. It might blow out all the windows on the block, so if you live nearby, I'm sorry. If I had a Crown Vic. Now, you might say, Dan, having heard all this, I hope you never own a Crown Vic. And if I see you in some shitty-ass, bumped-up, gunkus Crown Vic cruising my neighborhood, I'm gonna pull over. In fact, I think merely talking about rigging my Crown Vic to explode probably puts me on the list right now. Even though technically I haven't posted this audio yet, but if you're listening to it, I technically have. And that means I'm already on a list. But folks, you know what? We're all on lists now. Naughty lists, nice lists. I don't think there's a good one on the Death Star. Is there a Santa Claus on the Death Star? Is there Christmas on the Death Star? Can you imagine a Christmas with Darth Vader? Can you imagine Christmas on the Death Star? I think about Christmas on the Death Star sometimes. I think about the Christmas spirit. What would it be like to celebrate Christmas with Darth Vader? I don't know, folks. I don't know if they celebrate Christmas on the Death Star. I don't know if it matters. I don't know. I need to add an update to a podcast. Yesterday, I think I was talking about Grunkus and Associates of Little Saigon. Dr. Grunkus, I allow him to advertise on my show because my show is so high class and he wants high class patients, so... You may not know this, but Oprah Winfrey has recommended Dr. Grunkus. Now, you could say, Dan, didn't she recommend that John of God guy? Well, that might be true. But Dr. Grunkus isn't selling you bullshit, man. That's right, Oprah Winfrey recommends Dr. Grunkus. A lot of physicians have things like co-pays, little sheets of paper they write prescriptions on, nurses that help them out, devices for measuring your health, like a stethoscope and shit. Dr. Grunkus is not beholden to or encumbered by any of those technological flim-flam or razzmatazz. Dr. Grunkus practices medicine without razzmatazz. If you want medicine with razzmatazz, go see the UW Physicians Associates, whatever. They'll give you lots of fucking razzmatazz. But with Dr. Grunkus, you don't get razzmatazz. You just get really good health care for an awfully fair price. Really, pennies a day. Yeah, I got to go to Christmas. And I don't know what's going to happen. Typically, somebody I haven't seen in a while will ask me how things are going. And 10 or 15 years ago, especially maybe, let's say the year 2005 would have been a good year for me to say things like, oh, things are great. I'm really moving fast in my software engineering career. People really love me at work. It's really wonderful. Yeah. 10 or 15 years ago, I would have said something, and I might even have believed it. Which is to say that things are great, my career is fine, oh, my wife, we're so in love. Yes, we went to Alaska for our honeymoon. Yeah, it was really spectacular. One day we'll go to Napa Valley. That'll be great. Of course, it's all gone now, right? But these days, if someone asks me how things are going, I don't have a good way to answer that question. I don't know what to tell people. I mean, I want to say things are great, things are fine, life is good, and it's not terrible. You know, the funny thing is, here's what I can tell people. I'm okay. A lot of people are not okay this holiday season. Uncle Dan's okay. I'm not great. I'm not great. I wouldn't say I'm thriving, but I would say I'm sir-thriving. It's about sir-thrival these days. You know what I'm saying? Take the sir from survival and put a thrive after it. I'm sir-thriving. And that's okay. I'm hustling. I'm existing. I'm a drifter. I'm doing okay. And usually if I add that drifter part, that scares off the normies over Christmas, and they don't ask any other questions because they know about drifters. They know how drifters live. They've seen the toilets of a drifter. They've seen the hobo symbols all over the place telling people about a bad dog, a good woman. They know. They know. So when people ask me how things are going, I say things are great. It's great. Things are great. What do you think about Trump? Well, you know, I guess that's not great, right? And the thing is, I don't really give a shit. But if I say the wrong thing, you know, in one of the temples of liberal Prague douchebaggery, warfare state bullshit here in good Seattle, Washington, if you say the wrong thing at the wrong dining room table this time of year, they'll accuse you of being a Russian agent. And here's the deal, folks. If I'm a Russian agent, I'm a lot like those people in that really cool Charles Bronson movie from the 1970s, Telephone, where, you know, the fucking guy picks up the fucking phone and calls people and triggers them. Yeah, I'd be like that. I have no idea, folks. But if somebody starts reading me Robert Frost over the phone, maybe something bad will happen. If somebody starts reading me Robert Frost over the phone, maybe something crazy will happen. What if somebody reads me the following quote from Dr. Freckles? Have you ever heard this Dr. Freckles quote? This is one of my favorite Dr. Freckles quotes. It is better to light a house on fire than to curse the darkness. That's right. Why curse the darkness when you can set fire to the abandoned house across the way? and you can watch the rats and the homeless people run out of it. And you might say, Dan, that's terrible, and that's off-putting, and how does that connect to this whole conversation about family? And here's what I'm going to tell you, pal. If some normie asks me questions tonight, I'll talk about stuff like this. This is how I scare them away. This is my bug repellent. Oh, Dan, that's scary. Really? We haven't even gotten to stage one yet. You're still stage zero. And you think that's scary? You clearly don't listen to my fucking podcast. Scary. You don't know scary. Can you imagine a world of hippopotamus kings? Can you imagine such things? Can you imagine a world of elephant lawyers and sharks in charge of space? Can you imagine a world where kangaroos give you advice online for credit card payments? I can. How you doing? You see, if they ask me how I'm doing, I'll just say, you know, how are you doing, buddy? How you feeling inside about Christmas? How you feeling about Christmas, buddy, pal? You want to talk about the growths on my feet? Probably not. Yeah, I dread many things in this life. Like most humans, I have my own collection of fears. One of them isn't death, but I do have a fear of dying in some horribly pathetic way and just in general letting people down, which is pretty much inevitable at this point. Don't really fear death as much as I fear that it is the exclamation mark or period at the end of a sentence that the universe should never have read. Don't know what to do, folks. And as far as this podcast goes, this might be a short one tonight because I don't really have any special topics. I don't think the news is any different. I think as of right now, in terms of the state space of the great discontinuity, I would say we're still in the crack-up boom state space, really. It looks like China is going to have to allow agricultural imports in, which means the narrative that China can stand on its own might not stand on its own, which is to say it might be a weak story, a weak argument. China might be a lot weaker than we realize. So the fact that they might be willing to open up for imports of food, soybeans and pork, the pig Ebola, boy, I wonder if that was cooked up at Langley. You want to take a bet on that, folks? Fort Detrick? You think the CIA folks cooked up some Ebola and gave it to pigs, the pig Ebola? I don't know. But I say we're in the crack-up boom state space. So what does this mean? It means, theoretically, that for the next 24 months, I don't know if you're supposed to call this risk on or risk off, but I would say for the next 24 months, I guess technically risk on or no, I don't know. The point is, for the next 24 months, you could see an explosion in equities. You could also see, for the next year, probably the next year at the most, a continued stabilization and strengthening in the dollar. That'll be a mirage, folks. That'll be a mirage. Because if this is really a crack-up boom that's beginning, if that's what we're looking at, 2 years from now, things will be, yeah. Remember the analogy about the old Toyota Corolla with the nitrous injector and what ultimately happens? You know, the engine explodes? Yeah, 2 years from now, the engine explodes. And you tell me what that looks like. Could be World War III, could be Civil War, could be just general social chaos, could be people hanging and killing each other, could be Plague of Madness, could be anything. And the problem is modern technological society needs people to show up for work. Not everybody, not Uncle Dan, right? But enough people. And if enough people don't show up for work, chemical plants go wonky, refineries go wonky, you get more toxins in your environment because nobody's watching things, the water purification fails, and yes, oh yes, the nuclear power plants, they have to be watched by people who are focused on that and not stressed out about the Civil War. So anywho, if this is a crack-up boom scenario, yeah, just about every asset class will appreciate, and the only advice I can give is find a way over the next 2 years to translate those winnings at the casino into something solid. And in the very least, food. Because if I'm right, maybe this crack-up boom pulls in the extra amount of food on the world's food table over the next couple months. It also might be the case that over the next year, food inflation is not going to be something they can hide. Like, if we get a little bit of a crack in the crack-up boom initially, it could be around food. So of all the things I would definitely purchase ahead on, things that will last, I would buy some food. I would buy some food. You don't have to go crazy expensive. You don't have to buy someone's special survival kit. Get yourself bags of rice, bags of fucking noodles, tomato sauce, some type of seasoning you can live with, and kidney beans, dried or canned. And yeah, you're not going to live great, but you can live on that. And that you can live on. And the point is, you'll need enough of it for your family. And then whatever, get cans of fancy food too. Just be careful. Although I will say this, most canned food will last longer than the expiration date. I ate a lot of canned food from the food bank last winter that was 1 or 2 years beyond the expiration date in some cases. And really, it wasn't that bad. That being said, you know, canned food, one thing to look for, if it's bloated, if it looks like there's a crack in the seal, if you see rust, if you smell anything, don't eat it. Don't want you dying of botulism, my friend, not unless you're doing it for your face to look young, baby. I want you to be clean and pure as a cure-driven snow. Don't eat the can of botulism. Food poisoning after day zero will be no joke. In fact, any form of situation that requires immediate care will be no joke. So like I said, folks, 2 or 3 years from now, when day zero arrives, because guess what? If the crack-up boom scenario is on the plate, we might get 2 more years of quasi-normality. 2 more years, folks, that's a long time. I can do a lot with that. You can also get to know your neighbors, pick up a medical book, see if any of your neighbors are nurses. That's something I would do over the next 2 years. Because getting sick in a world where the roads are clogged with cars that don't have fuel in them is not a pretty picture. But you see, if I go over for Christmas and I start talking about Austrian economics and crack-up booms and why for the next year things could seem really awesome. Folks, that's the thing about a crack-up boom. The first phase seems really great. The economy is picking up. Everyone's got a job. Everything's wonderful in the first phase of a crack-up boom. Everyone's happy. Everyone's got their whiskey and their wine, and their hookers, and their cocaine. Then there's phase two. And the prices, well, they start doubling. And you start over-purchasing, which means instead of buying one bottle of Pinot Noir, you buy two and you don't drink the other one. You save it. That's phase two. And very quickly, you get to phase three at that point, and that's when things start to blow up. For example, you get shortages. Because ultimately, if you're printing so much money, That essentially money itself has no value and everything else has value, that bad money will chase the value. It will. It'll seek that transformation until it becomes zero. This is the thing, folks. It's hard to know at what point a fiat currency is absolutely zero. I'll give you an example. I went to a little coin collector's thingy in Indianapolis a few years ago. I went to this little coin collector's thingy. And guess what they had? They had Japanese notes from World War II. Japanese fucking fiat currency, imperial notes from World fucking II. Amazing. And it wasn't free, you had to pay for it. Like, I had to give him money for one of those notes. And understand this. These are notes that are technically worthless. They have no monetary value, and yet I still, just for curiosity's sake, bought some of them. So the question is, at what point does a fiat completely become worthless? You know, I've heard stories about, situations in Africa in recent years where even with failed currencies, and I think, what was it, Zimbabwe? But even with failed currencies, people will still use the currency because they don't have a choice. Of course, you have to hold on to the one that's a big denomination. You're not using tens and twenties at that point. No. When you get to that really terrible phase of the crack-up boom, you're using $100 bills, probably $1,000 bills, and they're probably printing those as fast as they can. So when does the money become totally worthless? Well, I don't know. But what I can tell you is this. There will come a time, if I'm right about the crack-up boom scenario, there will come a time in the next year or so where you're going to buy extra groceries because you're going to have an expectation that prices will increase, not decrease. You will have what's called an inflation expectation, and that will drive, if not hoarding, over purchasing. And that means prices go up faster. Yeah, and that means they print more money. And that means that the nitrous injector on the Corolla melts the engine block. And what happens then? Who knows? I mean, the great thing about my topics at Christmas, if I don't like somebody, I just start talking about this shit. And almost instantaneously, like, I don't know how to put this, almost instantaneously, I'm left alone. Because these aren't happy topics, folks. They're not. They're not happy topics. Nobody wants to hear this shit, and I don't blame them. I am what I am. I'm a drifter. I have a darker view of the world. I always have. And maybe it's simply because I have a defect in my brain. And maybe it's because there's a defect in the world. And maybe it's kind of a weird functional parallelism. Maybe there's a defect in my brain and a defect in the world. I don't know, folks. I might have a defect in my brain. I might have brain parasites. You might have brain parasites too. You don't know this Christmas season. You don't know what Santa's up to. And like I said, folks, before I let you go, if you ever see an old beat up dark blue or dark black or dark green Crown Victoria, if you ever see an old Crown Vic with some crusty old ginger with red hair with a scary look on his face and probably scars at that point, if you ever see that old Crown Vic just rolling your direction and on the side it says Teotihuacan, and you can tell, yeah, there's no place to sit in the back, it's just a big old fucking tank. If you see that rolling through your neighborhood, ask yourself, do you feel lucky? If you see me rolling through your neighborhood, are you going to pick a fight with me? I'm the guy with the exploding Crown Vic. I'm worse than the fucking turban dude with the dynamite in his hat. I'm the guy with the exploding Crown Vic. Can you hear the knocking? Can you hear the chimes and the bells of time? Can you hear the bells of time? Can you hear the reminder that time flies when you're having fun? And not so much when you're living in a shambles. Can you hear the beckoning of the Time Lords? Can you hear it? Can you hear Kronos and the other demon angels screaming at you from the bottomless pit? They were thrown there for a reason, pal. Merry fucking Christmas. Merry fucking Christmas, my friends. Tell you about Christmas miracles and seeing family and friends, I feel like the ultimate outcome is I will be depressed and I will probably think about how pointless and stupid my life is and how ultimately maybe there is no meaning. And the funny thing is, I'm a Christian. I am a Christian. I believe in God, but I also believe in Soren Kierkegaard. And I also believe there's more to the God story than just the obvious stories you get from cartoons. From talking fucking vegetables, okay? There's more to the Lord in heaven than cartoon stories. And the real truth is a lot of it isn't pretty, folks. That's one of the things that bothers me about a lot of fucking Christians, quote-unquote, these days. They want the nice, fluffy, bunny stuff. They really do. But what they don't realize is that it's all part of the same picture. You don't really get to say, well, some of it's good and some of it's bad. No, it's all part of the same picture. And not everything in the Bible is happy, fluffy bunny. Did you know that the chosen people in Genesis, trick people, said, oh yeah, you can marry our daughters, but first you have to get a circumcision. And you know what happens to those people in Genesis? Yeah, they get murdered on the operating table. This is in Genesis, people. In fact, I think that might have been Abraham who figured out that little fucking trick. If not Isaac or Jacob. But the point is, it was one of them. Either Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob, soon to be called Israel. But the point is, yeah. A scheme to murder your neighbors. So if you're going to tell me that there's one way to look at this God thing and it's all about the happy joy, yeah, that's part of the story, but that is not the whole fucking story. There's a lot more to it. There always has been. As far as Christmas goes, I want you to have a Merry Christmas. I want you to be happy this Christmas. I want you to enjoy the season. Ugh. I don't know, folks. One of my New Year's resolutions is to properly learn this fucking keyboard. But why do I care? If Guy McPherson is right, we're all just going to be boiled lobster this time next year. That's right, people. That's how cool I am at Christmas. Anyways, let's end this thing. If you enjoy my podcast, if you deliberately listen to my podcast and then you say to yourself, gee, I really like that shit, and you have money and you've taken care of your food, your water, your shelter, the people you care about and love, your pets, whatever future you think you're going to have in the great discontinuity, set aside money for buying extra whiskey and gold next year. I'd do that if I were you. Buy extra whiskey, cigarettes, and gold next year if you're an optimist. I know that sounds crazy. If you're an optimist, you should stockpile whiskey, cigarettes, and gold next year if you're a fucking optimist. And I don't care if you don't smoke. That's even fucking better, idiot. But chances are you're probably going to learn anyways. So you're going to drink a little of the whiskey. And you'll smoke a few of the cigarettes. Just don't smoke them all, because you're going to need them. But if you've already taken care of the things you need to take care of, you are now living in a perfectly protected shelter with your own radionucleotide decay-based thermoelectric battery system that will provide you with electricity for 120 years, maybe. That's what the Russian guy said. If you've already got your air purified, your butt purified, your water purified, your life is purified, and you've got extra money in your pocket, fuck, for hookers and cocaine, and you've had your hookers and your cocaine, then there will be a link to donate to this podcast in the description to Venmo, a link. There's a link on my SoundCloud homepage as well. You can donate there. You can donate if you give a fuck. You can donate if you don't. Every little bit helps. You don't have to donate every fucking month. You can donate once and never again. Or you can donate every month and keep me alive. Keep the beer and the weed and the optimism flowing. And to all of you out there in the night, wondering at the sky and all the signs you see, for all of you staring at your glowing rectangles and tripping your way through this existence on your way to oblivion, for all of the grumpus freaks and the gomptic lords, for all the Wolverine terrorists not off of 3rd Avenue but somewhere near Old 99 in Duval, for all the people who wander the streets of Seattle in search of a little extra love in the corner of your own nightmare, for all the people looking for Christmas meaning in the Christmas life of a Christmas world, for all you guys who are going to wait for Santa Claus, you need to know something. If you wait for Santa Claus, something bad might happen. And to all of you, a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, if you don't hear from me again. And let us all find the glad tidings and all the fucking shit we see. If you love someone, tell you love them. If you see a friend, say hello. If you can, be kind to the world and see what kindness is returned. But verily I say, if you see yourself in Little Saigon on a dark and smoky night, make sure you have a fucking hatchet.